The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
100 years ago next month, Ulster Unionist MP and Field Marshal Sir Henry Wilson was shot dead by two IRA gunmen outside his home on Eaton Square in London. A new book from Irish Times journalist Ronan McGreevy sheds light on the details of the murder, which he believes helped spark the Irish Civil War. The book is called Great Hatred, The Assassination of Field Marshal Sir Henry Wilson. It tells the true story behind one of the most significant political assassinations ever to have been committed on British soil. And Ronan is with me now. Ronan, good morning.
Thank you, Pat, for having me.
Now, this guy, he had an exemplary World War I record. Yes. As an Irishman.
Yes, he was. And not just any Irishman. He was from Ballinlea, County Longford. He was born there in 1864. He rose up the ranks of the British Army. He was the Director of Military Operations at the start of the First World War, and he prepared the British Expeditionary Force for deployment on the continent of Europe. And then at the end of the war, he was the chief of the Imperial General Staff, which was the head of the British Army, the chief British military advisor, and as far as many of his contemporaries, not just in Britain but across the world, was concerned, one of the men who won the First World War.
He was an odd fellow, though. Looked a bit odd, sounded a bit odd.
Well, he was described as the ugliest man in the British Army. His right eye was shattered by when he was in Burma by a conflict with rebels there, and he wasn't the best looking man. He described himself as the ugliest man in the British Army, and a letter that was addressed to him without any giving any name found its way right to him. But he was quite humorous about it, and he was also huge. He was over 6'4".
Yeah, and often he shed a tear, but not out of sadness, just because the eye had been injured.
Yeah, and, his eye had been injured, and he was always profiled on his left hand side.
You write that unionism, landlordism, and the Protestant faith were the holy trinity of the Wilson family.
Yes, well, the Wilson family had been in Ireland since 1690, since the Battle of the Boyne, around that period. It's important to remember that there were seven generations, and five of them spent their time in the north. Then they made a fortune in the Crimean War. The family moved its locus to what's now Frascati, where the Frascati shopping centre was the old family home. And Wilson's father was the youngest member of the family. They bought 1,200 acres in Currygrain, County Longford, in the 1860s after the famine. So, yeah, he was... He had this deep connection to Longford, which is very unusual.
Now, the perpetrators of this killing were both World War I veterans.
Yes.
They were also IRA men. Why would anyone have wanted this guy killed, who was seen as a bit of a national hero in Britain?
Well, that was the fundamental question that I asked myself, and there's been a lot of when I started the book, and there's been a lot of speculation about that over the last 100 years. The reason why he was assassinated is contained in the statement which was published in the Irish Independent 2 days after they were executed on the 12th of August 1922. He was executed assassinated because he was the military advisor to the Northern Ireland government and had been,
because he was an MP.
He became an MP in February 1922. A month later, he was appointed as the military advisor to the Northern Ireland government of James Craig. That government had put through the Special Powers Act, which was a very draconian piece of legislation which was aimed at the nationalist community. It included flogging, it included the hangings, included the ability to shut down newspapers and public meetings and so on. We're also talking about a background at the time when there was the pogroms in Northern Ireland. 1922 was the worst year. You had incidents like the massacre of the McMahon family, the Arnon Street massacre and so on. So in the public mind, in Irish nationalist public mind, Wilson was the chief person responsible for what was going on in the north.
Now, the two people who killed him, they had no chance of escape, really, did they?
No, I mean, I think among the many interesting angles to this story is that these were two British-born Irish nationalists who killed an Irish-born British imperialist. Reggie Dunn had his kneecap shattered at Arras during the German spring offensive of 1918. Joe O'Sullivan had lost a leg at Passchendaele in 1917. And yes, I mean, they were. It was effectively, given their disability, a suicide mission. And you might wonder, well, what were these two wounded veterans doing assassinating this guy? The reason for that is quite simply the opportunity arose at the time because it had been appeared in the newspapers the night before that Wilson was going to unveil a memorial at Liverpool Street Station. They went down to Liverpool Street Station to see if they could kill him there. When they realised it would be impossible, they loitered outside his home in Eaton Place and they killed him there instead.
Literally almost on his doorstep.
Yes, on his doorstep, yes. Yeah.
And he died on the spot. Now, there was a story that he attempted to pull a sword from a scabbard.
Yes, well, this was the old story. This was a sort of an urban myth that grew, that he had been the old warrior to the last, that he had got to his sword and he was about to smote the two men when he was finally gunned down. The only eyewitness to the shooting said that he never even got that far, that he had been shot six times on the doorstep and killed.
Now, there were three possible suspects, shall we say, in the ordering of this killing, besides the two who actually perpetrated the killing. One was the local London IRA.
Yes. Yeah.
One was the anti-treaty forces, and the other was the pro-treaty government of the Free State. Why would each of those have a motive to kill him?
Well, there are essentially I'll go through it very quickly, four motives. One was that these two men, Reggie Dunn and Joe Sullivan, acted of their own accord. I've gone through that in detail in the book. I don't believe that's the case. The second is that
like they were injured in the war and they hated anyone to do with the war, blah, blah, blah.
No, it certainly, I don't believe that that's the case. Secondly, the anti-treaty side, this side was blamed conveniently enough by the British government, but they had nothing to do with it. The third one was that Michael Holland ordered the assassination before the treaty and forgot to cancel that order. Again, I don't believe that to be true. All assassination orders were effectively cancelled by the truce and the treaty. And then the fourth one is somebody ordered the shooting. And, you know, who was the head of the IRB at the time? Reggie Dunn was a member of the IRB. Sam Maguire was a member of the IRB. Michael Collins was the head of the IRB.
All right, now people can tease out these various arguments in the book, but your contention that this gave rise to the Civil War, that the Civil War as it unfolded might not have happened in that way, you know, with the shelling of the forecourts, it might not have happened.
I would go further to say, Pat, that the Civil War would not have happened as it did happen without the Wilson shooting. The Wilson shooting bears the same link to the Irish Civil War as the assassination of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand did to the start of the First World War. You know, essentially what happened was that there had been a standoff in the forecourts from April of 1922 between the provisional government, and it was only provisional at that stage, and the anti-treaty rebels who had rejected the treaty. And that was what it was. It was a standoff. And there had been numerous attempts to try and end the standoff. There had been a pact before the 1922 general election between Eamon de Valera and Michael Collins. Nobody wanted war. Nobody had prepared for a war. But what happened was that when the assassination of Field Marshal Sir Henry Wilson happened, the British government blamed it on the anti-treaty rebels and said to the provisional government, said Lloyd George said to Michael Collins that very evening, if you do not take out the anti-treaty rebels, we will do it for you.
Now, how could they have done that? Did they still have garrisons here? I thought they had.
Yes, they had. And I think, again, you know, some people think when the handover at Dublin Castle happened in January 2022 that everything was rosy in the garden. There was still a garrison in Ireland of almost 3,000 troops based in the Phoenix Park. Again, I come back to what I described as the provisional government. It was not, the Irish Free State was not actually established till December 1922. It was only provisional on the basis that there would be a general election and that the new government would accept the treaty. So essentially the British were still in Ireland and only withdrew the rest of their troops in December of that year. So they had the ability to come back and to basically to reconquer Ireland if they wanted to. And in fact, the immediate reaction by the British government, including by Winston Churchill, was that they were going to do exactly that. And luckily enough, the head of the British Army in Ireland said, don't do that because we're going to be sucked into this conflict again and we're never going to get out of it. But the provisional Irish government was faced with a dilemma as a result of the Wilson shooting. Either risk restarting the war with Britain or deal with the rebels in the forecourts. And
do you believe, based on your researches, that that was a bluff by the British at the end of the day, that they would not have acted?
No, I think they would have acted. As it turned out, actually, I think they would certainly have acted. I mean, there was a tsunami of outrage in Britain about this incident at the time. And fortunately for the provisional government, the anti-treaty rebels actually played into their hands by kidnapping General J.J. O'Connell, who was like basically the head of the Free State Army at the time, 4 days after the assassination of Henry Wilson. So the provisional government was actually able to say that it was the O'Connell shooting that, or the O'Connell kidnapping that led them to shell the forecourts. It was the causes belli, as they say. But actually, the gun to their head was actually the British government's ultimatum.
Well, it's an absolutely fascinating book. It's called Great Hatred, The Assassination of Field Marshal Sir Henry Wilson. It's published by Faber. Its author is Ronan McGreevy. And Ronan, thank you very much for joining us in studio today with that fascinating story.
Thank you very much, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.